Hey, it is Free Talk Live, and you are invited to join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And, wow, breaking news here. I just saw it for the first time. With you tonight, by the way, it's Ian.
And Vincent.
We're expecting to be joined by Chris Wade here in just a few moments. But what I just saw for the first time, thanks to Sean in our Discord server over at discord.lrn.fm, he threw this one into the show prep chat room. And as a former editor of a newspaper, Vincent, somebody involved in the news business, you have your own website, shirefreemedia.com. You may be interested in the Reporters Without Borders Freedom of Information World Press Freedom Index. Have you heard about this before?
Yeah. I actually covered a report, an older report. I don't know if this is a new one. I covered one on Radio Free Keene on Wednesday.
That's your broadcast radio show that's not this show.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And yeah, I covered it, and apparently the U.S. declined because of Trump. But I mean, I guess that's the word exception to that, because Trump so far and they admit in the article I read that it's just been rhetorical, right? He's saying mm-hmm. that you have a fake news, the mainstream media is the enemy of the people.
Yeah, he's been threatening toward the media, but hasn't done anything more differently than Barack Obama.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Obama in that case, he actually did go out exclude networks like Fox because he's said they weren't news, so he delegitimized them, and he also went after whistleblowers and reporters too. So Obama actually did very harmful things to freedom of the press, and yet the press still loved him anyways. The fake press, the mainstream media, fake news press still loved him anyways.
Coming up, speaking of freedom of the press, Facebook shutting down many different Facebook pages, apparently, including Alex Jones, Louis Farrakhan, also Milo Yiannopoulos and others. We're going to get into that story as well. But starting out with a little bit on this press freedom, it looks like the United States, which has not been in the time that we've been covering press freedom, this particular index at least, and the website is rsf.org. That's the Reporters Without Borders, rsf.org. It is down since last year. So last year, U.S. was at number 45, and this year it is at number 48. So it's not like, it was really that great over the last several years anyway. The times we've been talking about it, it's been in the low kind of mid-40s range, 45, 47, nowhere near as good as a good chunk of the rest of the world, the top most free nations for press freedom. According to the Reporters Without Borders, number one is Norway, 2, Finland, 3, Sweden, 4, the Netherlands, 5, Denmark, Switzerland at number 6, New Zealand at number 7, which is a shocker considering New Zealand actually has a censor. There's a government censor. There's an office of the censor, or whatever they call it over there, and that has been in place for generations in New Zealand.
Which is why I'm curious as to their methodology of how they conducted the...
Well, there's a whole tab all about their methodology, so be sure you check that out. But it's, Reporters Without Borders is one of the more respected press freedom agencies out there. Wrapping up the list, number, or at least the top 10, number 8, Jamaica, number 9, Belgium, and number 10, Costa Rica. We then go all the way down to the bottom of the list, where looks like out of 179 nations, number 179. Take a guess.
North Korea.
North Korea. Yep. I wonder where is Venezuela on this list? Because we've been doing a lot of Venezuela coverage. Number 148, just above Russia in its press freedom. Of course, Venezuela backed by the Russian government as well. But again, the bottom five here, number 178, Eritrea, 177, China, 176, Vietnam, and 175, Sudan. So check this out when you get a chance, and it's an interesting press index and yet another example of how the United States is not the free country that many people would like it to be. They've got a nice interactive map where countries are sort of colored differently based on their relative press freedoms, and you can get more information there from Reporters Without Borders. We'll put the link on our social media, so check that out when you get the chance. And you're right, Vincent, Trump has not been friendly towards the media. Of course, the media hasn't been friendly towards him, and nor should they be. Media should not be friendly towards presidents, no matter who they are.
But in this case, it was just almost unanimous. It was like 91% negative coverage. And, like, I mean, just whenever they give out that number, they never say what it normally is. But I figure since, you know, roughly, I guess, like half, you know, they say it was like half a country voted for him, one would think that, you know, it's like if there was equal representation.
And there's not.
Half, yeah, and there's not. But, I mean, just like, you know,
the
just going off that.
Has a leftist tinge.
It'd be, you know, 60-40 or 70-30 in the average election, or maybe even more contested. But like 91%.
Right. Well, he had a lot of Republicans who didn't like him either.
Absolutely. And it goes, it sort of goes along with the, they say like six media companies own like 90%. Six mega corporations own 90% of all media companies.
So the press needs to be critical of the government. That's what their role is supposed to be. Ideally, is that they're supposed to be another check on the out of control, or what could be and what certainly is, an out of control government, regardless of the political viewpoints. But most media salivate over politicians. They treat them with respect. They treat them almost as though they are like, you know, royalty or Hollywood stars.
And, like, they're infallible sources. I mean, they've had, especially with the whole Russian collusion thing, like CNN, MSNBC, they'd have all these sources who would say, like, oh, Trump versus collusion, Trump's going to get impeached.
Didn't
and
happen.
In 2 years, like, yeah, absolutely, it didn't happen. And they still have these people on as experts.
Really?
And, oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's why I cover a lot of the media stuff on Radio Free Keene, but it's why the Trump White House sent out a memo to these media organizations saying, like, look, you've had all of these guests, and they had a list of guests like Maxine Waters, Eric Swalwell, and they said, look, they've all been wrong. All of our predictions have been wrong, so we kindly ask that you stop giving them a platform. And, you know, it was obviously a publicity gimmick. I've experienced this in my own profession, you know, my own short yet, budding professional life. It's where people, they're told they have to behave themselves, right? They can't go after the government too hard. Otherwise, they'll lose access to government sources and the government won't cooperate with them. When it's like, you know, compromising for the truth, it's impossible.
If you want to join the discussion here, maybe you work in media and you've got a viewpoint, or you're just an observer, you're welcome to jump in here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In a lot of cases, media seems more like they're interested in attacking other media, specifically Alex Jones, for instance, rather than actually questioning the status quo or politicians or whatever. And we're going to get into the story here about Facebook targeting Jones and several others. But, you know, one of my critiques of media has always been their lapdog attitude towards the government. That, yeah, they may, you know, they may enjoy watching the primary spectacle of politicians attacking one another. Certainly that makes for entertaining television in some instances. But for the most part, once a political person is in office, once they've received the nomination, they're very deferent towards them. They're very worshipful towards them. You know, frequently you'll see, like, for instance, with when Trump or Obama or whichever person is getting the presidency next, they have that inauguration day where they swear them in, and they just – it's almost like watching, like, a Hollywood awards ceremony
where or coronation.
Where they're talking about, oh, doesn't she just look ravishing in that dress? Where did she get that dress? Is that a Versace dress? My God, she looks splendid. Talking about like the first lady or whatever, and just so worshipful towards these people. Wouldn't it be nice if we actually had a media that looked down their nose at politicians and treated them like the dirt, trash, garbage human beings that they actually are, the sociopaths that they actually are? Chris Wade joining us. Welcome.
Hi.
So, coming up, you can join us here as well. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Whether it's press freedom or the Facebook bans that, you know, they just keep coming out with new bans. This is just the latest list. And we'll get into it. Coming up here, you can share your thoughts as well. Join us here on Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll-free. Bring up whatever is on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord on air call-in line rooms. Just get on over to discord.lrn.fm. And that, by the way, the Discord server is there for you 24 hours a day. Now, obviously, you can only call in via Discord during our live hours, which are 7 to 10 at night Eastern every single day. But outside of those times, you can just chat with other Free Talk Live listeners and other listeners of LRN.FM's other great shows while you're there over at discord.lrn.fm. Plus, want to make sure you know about Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is your premier source for everything Bitcoin Cash related. They can help you choose a Bitcoin Cash wallet, buy Bitcoin Cash, show you where you can spend your Bitcoin Cash. You can also read the latest news or engage with the community on their forum at Bitcoin.com. Story coming from CNN Business that people are having their Facebook account shut down. Not only that, also Instagram, which of course is owned by Facebook. The story here, Facebook announced Thursday, that's yesterday, that it had designated some high-profile people, including Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, who's notorious for using anti-Semitic language, and right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, as, quote, dangerous. And it said they will be purging those people from their platforms. Jones and his media outlet InfoWars previously had already been banned from Facebook back in August of last year, but had maintained a presence on Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. On Thursday, Jones and InfoWars will be barred from Instagram as well. Other people banned Thursday include Paul Neelan, an anti-Semite who unsuccessfully ran for Congress in 2016 and 2018, and fringe right-wing media personalities Laura Loomer, Milo Yiannopoulos, and Paul Joseph Watson. Now, I wouldn't have known the Laura Loomer name if it weren't for your show, Vincent, Questioning Authority, which airs Thursday and Saturday nights on LRN.FM. Is this lady dangerous?
Not physically. I mean, plenty of the things
she's just like a conservative talking head, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's, I guess, a little more extreme in her examples. Like, she's an activist, right? And mm-hmm. even though she claims to be a journalist,
Doesn't she go crash events?
Yeah, she crashed for Shakespeare in the Park. She invited a bunch of, she bust in a bunch of, allegedly illegal aliens to Nancy Pelosi's house, and they had, like, a siesta there. She got arrested for that. But no, I mean, she's never harmed anyone, never said any, violent rhetoric, more violent ever than, government force. So,
any hate speech that you know of from her?
Aside from some of the things she says about Muslims or Palestinians.
Okay,
no.
So she's anti-Muslim?
I mean, she's a Zionist. She's a self-described Zionist. So, yeah, that sort of comes with the territory there.
Let's see. Quote, we've always, and Paul Joseph Watson, he's another InfoWars guy, right?
Yeah,
he's a writer for them.
He recently split off to do his own thing.
Oh,
but
really?
They're both still symbiotic.
And of course, Milo Yiannopoulos is noteworthy as he is a gay man who is a conservative, purportedly, and kind of stirred up some controversy a couple of years ago with some, statements that upset some people, I guess. I don't even remember why he got into the news, I guess because he's gay and conservative.
He did a tour.
There's a lot of gay conservatives out there.
Are there? Well,
I think he
did a tour called, I can't repeat the name of it on the air, but he did a tour, and when he got to UC Berkeley and I think a few other colleges, Antifa there and all these other left-wing lunatics just started rioting.
Oh, they flipped out. That's right.
Yeah, and I forget the details also. It's been comparatively a while ago, but and like the police, they would refuse. They would just, and I don't know about refuse, but they would say that they couldn't provide protection, right? So
they're not obligated to. Mm. That's
very true.
It's been determined many a time by the Supreme Court in this country. The cops don't have to protect you.
Which begs the question of what are we paying them for?
Because they're going to hurt you.
Yeah, so we're paying them to hurt us. So why are
we
doing
that? Well, they will hurt you if you don't pay.
Ah, yes, that's right? True.
Just like any other criminal gang.
Yeah.
But they have this illusion that you have some sort of influence. So they've managed to fool people into believing that they have some sort of say in how the police behave, when the reality is the police go against what people want all the time. The cops will say that, oh, well, we're just following the law. We're just doing what we're told to do. It's just our job. We're following the law, which, of course, they don't even know many of the laws because, I mean, how could you? How could anyone?
But you know what? They know that they're not following the law most of the time. I think they're just making stuff up and they know it.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a means of putting pressure on you to do whatever they demand, basically, whether it's legal or not.
Right. And whenever it is you want the law to change, like in the case of cannabis laws here in New Hampshire or in many places, it's the cops who come out and lobby against it. So it's not like the cops are just quietly sitting there just following and enforcing whatever laws pass. No, they're coming and on taxpayer dollars, being paid to go to the state house to testify against anything that would lower their power.
If there's not enough bad people out there, what are we paying them for? And so they have to create bad people, basically, is their perspective.
There aren't even that many bad people. Like here in New Hampshire.
There aren't, but they still have to create that fiction in order to have a job and to maintain their job.
There's another headline today that the governor in New Hampshire he vetoed the death penalty repeal.
Now there's enough power to get that overwritten, right?
There should be enough. They have to re-vote on it if they're going to override. Yeah. But the initial votes did have override-proof majorities, or veto-proof majority, so they have enough to override a veto. But they still have to go through that process of overriding. So hopefully they'll be able to do that. But of course, they actually had the governor do the veto. According to the article, he went to a building that was named after the police officer who was killed by the one man in New Hampshire who's on death row. There's only one guy.
Mm, right.
And he killed a cop, allegedly, apparently. And so they named some building after that guy. When the governor went to go and veto this, he made a special trip to that building to sign the veto in that man's building that was, named in the honor of this dead cop. Gotcha. And, of course, he was surrounded by police while he was doing it. So it's all about the police. It's all about – the only reason why the death penalty still is in New Hampshire is because of the worship of the police.
Yeah, police worship, cop worship.
That's all it is. The people don't want it.
Nope.
I mean, if you've got veto-proof majorities of both the House and the Senate voting for a thing and the governor's going against it, it's the cops. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. It's the cops. They're the ones whispering in his ear. He's the head of the executive branch. They answer to him, and he answers to them.
Yep.
He's doing their bidding. Anyway, back to the story about Facebook banning more people off of its platform. This is, by the way, a heads up to people out there on Facebook. If they haven't gotten to you yet, it's just because they haven't gotten to you yet. You're not big enough.
Or you haven't said anything that they dislike.
Well, if you're small enough and you've said something they dislike, it's probably not going on, across their radar. If there aren't people reporting you.
That might be, but there's also a lot of people who are getting smacked down even without getting kicked off the platform. So,
like getting temporary suspensions and things like that.
Suspensions and things like that. And there's a lot of people out there like that. It's not a small crowd. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know why somebody would even stay on Facebook even after they've been, basically beaten up by Facebook in the past.
I'm surprised, actually, by the number of people who are saying they're getting off of Facebook. It seems like it's increasing.
Definitely increasing.
People that I know who are always on it.
But there's still a lot of apologists, Facebook apologists.
Oh, of course. I bet none of them will call in, though. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has found that though U.S. financial institutions are prohibited from doing business with foreign gambling websites, it's not illegal for U.S.-based internet users to gamble on those sites. People have been using VPNs or virtual private networks to connect to sites like games.bitcoin.com and play games with Bitcoin Cash. Games.bitcoin.com features poker, blackjack, roulette, craps, keno, slots, and dice. You can conduct your own investigation at games.bitcoin.com. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. So feel free to jump into one of those if you want to sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. And in the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
You got Vincent.
And Chris.
By the way, I want to let you know about AnyPay. You can get hooked up with the easiest way to accept payment at your point of sale in cryptocurrency. We just actually used AnyPay this afternoon, you and I, Chris. We had some lunch out at Hot Hogs here in Keene, and I think we both paid Bitcoin Cash today.
Yeah.
For that lunch, because, well, AnyPay lets you do, or accept rather, different cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, BTC, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, Zcash, and others. You can go to helpmetakebitcoin.com. They'll walk you through the easy steps. You think it's hard? You think it's complicated to take cryptocurrency? You don't know anything about AnyPay because they've made it so easy. Helpmetakebitcoin.com. There's an iOS app. There's an Android app. You load the app up on your device when you're, you know, wherever you've got your point of sale, cash register, tablet of some sort. Load up the app there and walk through some simple steps and you're good to go. Helpmetakebitcoin.com. That's helpmetakebitcoin.com. As we continue talking about the latest Facebook bans, taking out Alex Jones and InfoWars, Laura Loomer, Milo Yiannopoulos, Paul Joseph Watson, Louis Farrakhan. So not just the right wing, but also, I mean, I think you could argue Farrakhan's probably on the left wing, but I don't know.
Well, I think it's, I feel that it's like chicken feed that they gave in. They sort of threw a bone to the right wing, so they can't just say it was totally
biased. Maybe
Farrakhan's
a right winger. I mean, I don't
know. Well, they mentioned it. It said because he was anti-Semitic. He's, you know, regularly makes what they say is anti-Semitic comments. And so I think he was just added in. He was collateral damage. That's what they call it. Because, you know, Obama was a fan of Louis Farrakhan. He's been a darling. He's been protected until now.
Really?
So we sort of threw him under the bus just to get to Jones.
I don't think they would have had to have done that. But going on here, the process, they say, this is Facebook's spokes bureaucrat saying, quote, "The process for evaluating potential violators is extensive, and it is what led us to our decision to remove these accounts today. We have always banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate, regardless of ideology," said Facebook. The spokesperson told CNN Business the company goes through a lengthy process and takes into consideration a number of factors before determining an individual to be, quote, dangerous. The Facebook spokesperson said factors include whether the person or organization has ever called for violence against individuals based on race, ethnicity, or national origin. So is it okay to call for violence just because you want to see somebody get hurt? If it's a problem to call for, you know, it's a problem to call for violence because you don't like the person's skin color, okay. But it's okay for somebody to say, you know, hurt this person because I don't like them as an individual? I can't imagine they would stand for that either. Or would they? Or whether the person has been identified with a hateful ideology, whether they use hate speech or slurs in their about section on their social media profiles, and whether they have had pages or groups removed from Facebook for violating hate speech rules. In some instances, when Facebook bans an individual or organization, it also restricts others from expressing praise or support for them on its platforms.
Wow,
said the spokesperson. Yeah, now that's going a little bit further than I expected. Of course, maybe I shouldn't be surprised by it. So, yeah, if you say, hey, that's mean of you, Facebook, you should leave Alex Jones alone, then they might ban you too, is what they're saying here. The company continues to view such action as the correct approach. Their policy may not apply to any or all of the people banned Thursday. However, the spokesperson added that Facebook will remove groups, pages, and accounts created to represent the banned individuals when it knows the individual is participating in the effort. Some of the individuals who are designated as dangerous responded to the ban on their accounts in the brief period between when Facebook announced the ban and when Facebook scrubbed their accounts.
You know, the thing that I think here is dangerous is Facebook. It's not just Facebook explicitly.
Now, why are they dangerous? They're just a website.
It's a centralized organization that basically has a role as a government, or are playing a role as a government and deciding who can say what.
Well, shouldn't they be able to govern their platform? What's wrong with that?
I don't necessarily know that there's anything wrong with governing their platform. The problem is that individuals need to set up their own platforms, mm-hmm. As opposed to be relying on other people's platforms.
Sure. But the individual is not likely to do that because the average person doesn't have the technical chops to just, let's spin up our own Facebook competitor.
True, but there are competitors to Facebook, so
there
all
are.
Jumping on the same...
Most of them centralized.
The same platform. Yeah, and that's not as desirable, but jumping on the same platform as everybody else is a really bad idea.
Of course, that's the reason why people do it, is because they perceive that sure. that's where people are. When we talk to people about Facebook and why they're still on it, by the way, I've been off for over a year.
I've never been on it, so.
Kudos.
Yeah.
And there was an early time when it was useful. There was. I mean, like, it was in its early years.
I understand why people get on it. It's usually people aren't really thinking about these types of issues when they get on a platform. And sometimes sure. the platforms aren't even that big, right, or popular at the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, these things build up. I think it's particularly concerning when you join larger or platforms built by larger entities because they tend to already have policies and things in place and you know where they're going to go. Whereas I think smaller platforms sometimes, especially if they're really small platforms, are not quite as extreme.
And if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE, that is the toll-free number. The Facebook decisions that they're making, you know, it's arbitrary. They can decide to run their system however they want, and they didn't used to be a behemoth, right? Like, they used to be a small company that just provided a social media platform for college students. That's what the original purpose of Facebook was, as I understand it. You actually had to be going to college in order to have an account on Facebook in the original days, and that was before I was involved because I wasn't going to college at that time. And then they expanded out from there, and now they're this massive behemoth that basically has crippled their own platform on purpose, because the selling point, whenever you talk to somebody who's still on Facebook, they almost always say the same things. They'll say something to the effect of, yeah, I'm still on Facebook. I don't really want to be, but that's where everyone is. Even then, we can point out, well, Chris isn't there, and I'm not there, and we can point to all these people that aren't there, but there's still the perception that that's where everyone is. Mm. But then, I also will point out that you also can't reach those people, like that. The illusion of Facebook is that everyone's there. Okay, there are a lot of people there. I think there's like 2 billion of the world's population that have Facebook accounts. Although there was recently an article about how many of their accounts are dead people at this point.
Yeah, and there's also a world population of about 9 billion. So it's not...
Is it 9 now? I thought it was 8. Approaching 8.
Okay, 8 billion.
I could be wrong.
Well, either way, still, it's not the whole world. I mean,
okay, but it's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, but it's also 2 billion accounts doesn't necessarily equal 2 billion.
I mean, remember, half the world is in a place where there's no internet at all.
Right, like, but 2 billion accounts doesn't equal 2 billion people. How many of those accounts are duplicate accounts?
Sure, and how many are dead people? And all the
dead people, right, et cetera, et cetera. Or people who created accounts for their children or babies or whatever that aren't even capable of reading and writing
or
yet.
Or their dog.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Right. So...
Anyway, the point is, these people have these excuses for why they're on Facebook, and it's fine. If you're enjoying it, then have at it. I wouldn't tell you not to do something that you enjoy. But a lot of people seem like they don't really enjoy it, and they're just there out of an obligation. They're there because they've been there, and I understand this because I've been in this place myself. They're there because they've been there. They feel like everybody else is there, and so they feel like they have to continue.
Well, it also sort of becomes an addiction with how people behave around it. Like, they want the dopamine for clicks. They want the attention.
The likes.
And absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they've had former Facebook employees say that they're ashamed of themselves for working on it because
they've
like,
designed it to be addictive.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. Because they want you to spend all your time there so you can see all their advertising.
Well, yeah, and they could get all your data.
Yep. The longer you are on that page, the more money they make from advertising.
Yeah, that's true. And the more time you've wasted. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. And the real insult here to people is after they've spent all this time on this platform and put all this energy into creating these accounts and these pages and getting their pages up, in the case of, Jones, probably to millions of likes would be my guess, then all of a sudden, yank, they just pull the plug and it's poof. All that effort,
wasn't
all those
yours to
years,
begin with,
right?
And it's your own doing.
Yeah,
it's
you
your
gave
own
it
undoing.
To them.
Yeah.
More coming up here. It is Free Talk Live. Yeah. Hey, it's Free Talk Live. You're invited here. We're talking about Facebook targeting more accounts for deletion, not just a, temporary ban or suspension, but, they're wiping people out. And it's their platform. They can do what they want. They built it. They can destroy it. They can destroy your account. It's not your account.
Well, no, it's there sometimes platform and sometimes publishing.
I want to get into that. That's a related story that you've got coming up here. By the way, with you tonight, it's Ian.
It's Vincent.
And Chris.
And thanks to Nick C., who is a Free Talk Live amplifier over at amp.freetalklive.com. Nick C. giving $5 a month to Free Talk Live's AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And it's a way for you to back up what we do here on Free Talk Live. You like the fact that we're on almost 200 stations. We are within just a few stations from 200. If you appreciate that and you want us to see 200, 300, 400, it can happen. It just takes marketing. It takes time. It takes money. And the AMP program helps make that happen. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. You can help us there, and you'll get some cool perks like access to the AMP-only call-in lines, the AMP-only there's supporters-only chat rooms on our Discord servers. There's an AMP-only Facebook group for those of you still there. I'm not in it anymore. It was one of the last reasons why I was still on Facebook was, well, my amplifiers, I don't want to walk away from the AMP group. I have to be here for this. And eventually I was just like, you know, screw it. They can find me on five other platforms if they want to talk.
Is there another platform that they can join and participate in the AMP on?
Well, there's the Discord server. So Discord has supporters only chat rooms, which it's technically open to amplifiers, Twitch supporters, and Patreon. So basically, anybody who throws in a few bucks a month towards one of the other different fundraising methods that we have. And there's, you know, like a special AMP only tag. There's like an amplifier tag for your user profile on Discord. And at this time, I can't justify putting anything for AMP only on the forum just because the forum is so it's barely used at all anyway. There's no point in having a separate area,
right.
Which will be even less used than the already disused forum. As much as I love the forum, it's hard to get people off these social media platforms to try something new, or in this case, like forums are kind of an old idea, but in our case, our forum is a sort of a newer iteration of it. You've used it before.
Oh yeah, I posted something.
You seem
day.
To like it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a fan in a sense. It's, you know what I think it is? I think there's not enough tie-in with instant messaging platforms. I wish it'd be nice if you could tie it in somehow, so like you could see the messages without actually having to open up the forum. And
oh, I see what you're saying.
You know? Wouldn't that be kind of neat?
I know that it has like an API and it has webhooks, and so it's got these things that could be used for that purpose. There may actually be what you're talking about.
Yeah.
We may just not have that plugin.
And it would be nice because then all the things that were posted are getting archived where other people can see them
and they're organized.
Oh, hey, yeah, there's all these people in, you know, New Hampshire or whatever it is, or on FTL or whatever it is that you know, you're trying to promote.
I bet you we could, like, for instance, you know, there's the website IFTTT, which is if this then that. It's got a lot of integrations where you can have, like, if a thing happens on this one site, so like the forum, then post a message on, say, a Telegram or on Mastodon or on, you know, whatever. So there would be a way to do sort of like a notice of, hey, there's a new post over here into a chat group. So I'm pretty sure that can be done. But it's not something that a user can just flip on automatically. It's not probably like easy to do at this point. But anyway, check it out when you get the chance over on our forum at forum.freetalklive.com. And if you want to help us out big time, please become an amplifier at ampamp.freetalklive.com. If the forum got so popular to where amplifiers were demanding an AMP only forum, I could make it in, you know, 2 minutes.
It wouldn't
be hard to do. So if it ever gets to that point, that would be wonderful. So we've been talking about Facebook targeting different people and people of sort of divergent beliefs, but Facebook says they're hateful people and they're, quote, dangerous. So they're taking out their accounts. And that, of course, has led to just sort of an overarching conversation about Facebook and alternatives to it. If you want to comment here, maybe you found something that's pretty good that you've been using instead of Facebook. That is maybe more decentralized that we don't know about. Like, we want to know about it. We know about Mastodon and we like it.
Right.
That's more of like a competitor to Twitter though than it is to Facebook. So it's social media in that you can share your thoughts, you can share a link, you can tag somebody in the thing that you share so they can know that you've mentioned them. And so it's got those basics to it, and it does a really good job of copying what Twitter does without being centrally managed. But for people that want to have groups or whatever, I would say it's probably better to have different apps rather than have everything all – try one site trying to do everything. Mm. Have your social media, your posts be on Mastodon. And then if you want to have more of like a group atmosphere, go on to a forum where the people who are interested in the things that you're talking about – are there. And then, you know, different forums can be running different software, and that means that there's competition out there for the different types of software rather than this massive mega corporation, Facebook, that gives you this honestly crappy experience. One of my longest complaints about Facebook, even when I was a regular user, was that their groups suck. I mean, if you've ever been on, you've never been on it, but if you've ever been on one of their groups, the search feature is terrible. You can type in searches that you know should find something, like because you know you made the post previously. Like if you search a certain word that you're 100% certain is in that post, it just won't show up. Hmm. You know it's in the database. You know it's in the group. If you scroll down long enough, if you knew like what date it was and you scroll down to get to that date, you'd find the post. But it doesn't show up in search.
Hmm.
And of course, unlike a forum where you can move posts from one sub-forum to another. So like if you're on the Free Talk Live forum over at forum.freetalklive.com, it's part of the larger Shire forums. And so there's other forums subjects. So like the ForkFest forum
is
on the same place. So let's say somebody posts a post about Free Talk Live in the ForkFest forum. As a moderator, all you have to do is say, oh, whoops, you misposted that. You didn't mean to post it here. So move the post from one sub-forum to the other one. This is a basic function of moderation that has existed in forums since, you know, the 1990s, probably since the 80s in bulletin board systems. I mean, this is an old feature. Just doesn't exist in Facebook. It doesn't matter if you're the administrator of more than one group. You cannot move a post from group A to group B. Just can't be done. So if somebody screws up and posts in the wrong place, all you have is the delete button. That's all you can do. And it's just the most rudimentary garbage form of system. It's really hard to kind of keep track of things in there. Anyway, let's go to Sarah. She's in New Mexico, and then we can come back to more on Facebook banning people. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes. So here in New Mexico, we have this thing called a brain drain. Brain drain.
Brain drain?
Yeah, brain drain, because they get educated here. I think they get college educated, and then they all leave out of our state.
Okay.
So because, for one thing, you know, there's no, I mean, the good jobs are all in other states that pay more. There's very few jobs where they could make a lot of money here and use their education.
But what's the cost of living like?
Cost of living is...
Is it high?
Reasonable. No,
don't ask her. She's on welfare. How would she know?
That's a good point.
It's reasonable when you're getting free money.
Yeah. I mean, there's no cost to your living, Sarah. Doesn't the government pay for, like, your house, your food? What else?
Wait a minute. I was talking about our college-educated people leaving out of our state. What does that have to do with...
How would you know anything about what it's like to, you know, get a real job and actually be productive?
Have you worked, Sarah?
No, I've worked before I clocked
out.
I used to work before I wound up in a mental hospital, and ever since then...
When
I
was that? Weren't you like 17 at that time?
No, 18.
Hey, 18.
Okay.
It's only been however many decades.
All right, so
she might be almost as bad as Bernie Sanders.
All right, so she has you have no idea like what the current cost of living is like in... I mean, Arizona, is it? Where are you?
She's in New Mexico.
New Mexico, okay.
Live here. That's one of the reasons I live here. It's there's a lot of Section 8 apartments. And the thing is, the problem is...
Are you on food stamps or EBT or whatever they call it?
So it sounds to me like this is why people are... People are moving out.
Like how we always wind up with dumb people in New Mexico. That's all we wind
because college grads don't want to live in Section 8 housing.
Wow.
Well, the reason is because what they're saying is there's no job for them. I mean, they do stay here, but it's always the worst of the worst. In other words, like, we have no money to pay the teachers. We got the worst doctors.
Oh,
we got
those
the worst
poor
teachers.
This is what happens. The government doesn't have
this
any
is what
money
happens
to pay,
with socialism, Sarah. Nobody wants to live there because the cost of living is too high and the pay isn't good enough.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. If you want to join us, we got more on Facebook. Are they a platform? Or are they, what was the other word?
A publisher.
A publisher. There's more on the way. You can share your thoughts with us. It's Free Talk Live.
This is a special alert for business owners, consultants, coaches, folks planning retirement, entrepreneurs, and anyone who is saving and investing to build a financial future. You are likely aware that financial privacy for most people has recently died a miserable death. And let's face it, without privacy, there really is no security, is there? Bankrupt governments and banks on the verge of collapse are perhaps the biggest threat to your financial future today. The Lighthouse Law Club recognizes this and has been working diligently to provide safe, secure, and productive tools to ensure your privacy, your financial security, and your future financial well-being, despite the catastrophes which many people fear are looming ahead of us. Find out more with a variety of free videos on the YouTube channel for Lighthouse Law Club. Just search YouTube for Lighthouse Law Club and secure your future today.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. But you'll be needed to be branded with a hot iron before you can call into the show tonight because we're converting the show into a cult. I'm kidding. That's what the conversation has been in the Discord chat. We're talking about cults. The Nexium cult, of course, has been in the news. And I have the story from thecut.com. If we had a chance to get to it, I don't know if we will, but one of these days, the most disturbing details from the Nexium sex cult case, where people are taking guilty pleas left and right. They're trying to throw each other under the bus.
Sex cult thing?
Well, there's a lot.
I haven't even heard about it.
Yeah, there's a lot to say about it.
I may have been ignoring it. So
I don't know everything about it, but I've read a few different articles, and it's like a creepy, you know, sex cult run by some guy who wants to bang a bunch of chicks and brainwash them.
Okay, and they're actually arresting people over this. It seems kind of ridiculous.
Oh, there have been multiple arrests in this
human
case.
Human trafficking and stuff.
Yeah,
Wait, what? How is that human trafficking if you get somebody to have sex with you?
Well, it became an entire lifestyle for some of these people.
There's a lot to say about it, and we don't have time because we're talking about Facebook. But we can get into it a little bit later on. Plus,
fair enough.
I know, Chris, you had a story about Apple, and they are not happy with a court decision, or I'm not sure what else is going on. There's some sort of ruling on people's ability to, fix their own devices.
Yeah,
and Apple's not happy.
So there's basically the story is about how there are people who want to prevent Apple from doing things that will prevent users from being able to repair their own devices, and so they're basically fighting this, understandably, and I think it's probably a bad legislation, but, you know,
we'll get into it later on. But you can call in and bring up what you want. So that's where we're going next. We've got Discord caller on the line, Josh, who is calling actually from the UK. So I guess it's early morning where you are right now, just in the middle of the night. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, it's 1 a.m.
Welcome. Yeah. Thanks for your patience. What's Go up, ahead with dude? Your thoughts.
That's okay. So my thoughts about the Facebook thing. Have you heard of the Daily Mail? It's a tabloid on Facebook.
I mean, we've read the Daily Mail's website.
Right. Yeah, right. They're quite a controversial tabloid.
That's Facebook. An actual print tabloid in the UK, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's not really trusted. It's not a good news source. But
most people don't trust
it's
tabloids.
Talk about fake news. It's fake news. It's intentionally fake news.
I've seen some decent...
Not everything there's fake.
I've seen some decent reporting in the Daily Mail.
They cover some things
serious?
That are real.
Absolutely,
yeah, absolutely. They cover some real news. They just cover it in a way that's tabloidy. You know, it's like exploitative.
I mean, I trust it slightly more than I trust CNN.
Well, okay, but that's not saying much,
CNN,
right?
It's none, so I trust Daily Mail a lot more.
Right.
All right, so what about the Daily Mail? Josh?
Yeah, sorry.
So what about the Daily Mail? I presume you were going somewhere by bringing
them up. Yeah, yeah, so recently they've they've been, we have this guy in the UK called Tommy Robinson. He's like a far right extremist. He's a fascist, whatever. Okay. And he got attacked by a Muslim in Manchester yesterday. They threw a milkshake on him.
Wow. And well, that's better than throwing acid on somebody. I mean, I've heard about acid attacks. So I mean,
acid attacks. They're quite they're not that common anymore, but they used to be quite common. But
LRN.FM. I think he might have almost been somewhat intellectual. The toll-free number here is 855.
I wasn't expecting it.
He didn't even get the whole word out.
Yeah, no, he was off to a real conversation.
Yeah. Didn't even get the whole word out. Toll-free number here is 850, but I went ahead and dumped you anyway, bud. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So we were talking about the Facebook bans. Banning Alex Jones, banning Milo Yiannopoulos, banning Louis Farrakhan, and several others, apparently. We don't have a full list, but a spokesperson at Facebook said they will be removing groups, pages, and accounts created to represent the banned individuals. If they know that the individuals participating in the effort, they may even be targeting people for supporting the individuals. Some of the individuals who are designated by Facebook as dangerous responded to the ban on their accounts in the brief period when Facebook announced the ban and when Facebook scrubbed their accounts.
So this isn't the first ban, right? They were banning libertarians before, weren't they?
They banned the cop block page last year.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought. Point. Yeah, so this is like, I mean, this is like, talk about extremist, a position. Facebook has the extremist position here.
The spokesperson, or some Loomer, who's one of the people Laura Loomer banned, for instance, denied in an Instagram post she ever violated the company's terms of service. Loomer asked people to follow her on a different platform, adding, quote, "Looks like you guys will probably never hear from me again." Yiannopoulos also published a final post on Instagram. Paul Joseph Watson used Twitter, from which he has not been banned, to write, quote, "In an authoritarian society controlled by a handful of Silicon Valley giants, all dissent must be purged." And, you know, I think that your approach here is the right one, Chris. That is to say, create your own platform. Now, that doesn't mean you have to program one from scratch. They're already out there. You can download Mastodon. And if you've got if you're Alex Jones or you're any one of these people, they can afford to hire a tech person to launch their own server, and they probably already have their own web server for their own website. So you just use the same server that you're on right now, and you put Mastodon on it, and then you can invite all your listeners or viewers or whatever to come join your Mastodon platform.
Some of these alternative solutions are decentralized, so you don't necessarily have to set up your own platform. Like, it's not necessary for each individual to set up their own platform. You can join a platform that somebody else has set up that connects with other platforms.
The only downside, of course, is if you're joining someone else's platform, you're still at their mercy, right?
You can find a platform that's for conservatives or libertarians or for socialists
or Nazis
or Nazis or whatever, and then it doesn't matter anymore.
Right. Now, if you have some sort of disagreement with the person who's running that platform, they could disconnect you from it.
That's true, but you're not disconnected from the whole platform. You're only disconnected from like one part of it.
Right, and you could join another person's version of that same thing. What you're talking about is the federated aspect, the word that is federated.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is an aspect of the Mastodon platform. There are thousands of Mastodon servers out there. You can find one that has rules that are more accepting towards you. So like the standard Mastodon server, if you were to go check out Mastodon and sign up for a server, they kind of give you their default one.
Yeah.
That's the one run by the socialists who programmed, likely socialists, likely like leftists.
Yeah, I don't know if you should go quite as far as calling that group socialist. I think there's a lot of socialists in that group.
They likely are. I mean, they're from France and Germany, and they respect the French and German laws. So like, you know, if you say, because like you don't have freedom of speech in those countries. So
yeah, but most people respect their country's laws, right? Like, so I don't know like how far that is, you know, that goes. I mean, I don't know.
It could be, I mean, it just doesn't feel like, you know, anything besides a leftist platform there. But there are alternatives. So there's Liberdon for libertarians.
Here's the thing. It's certainly, there's a lot of libertarians too. And that's kind of why I'm
France?
No, I don't mean in France.
In Germany?
I mean just in general in terms of writing some of the software. And I don't know specifically about Mastodon,
But that's what I'm talking about.
I know that there is, I know within the free software community, there's a lot of libertarians.
No, that's true.
And so, like, I don't know specifically Mastodon, but I
programmers tend to be on the left or libertarian.
I suspect, yeah. Right. So I tend to suspect it's probably not as socialist, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's another platform that is, you know, that's attracting.
Well, they definitely have rules against certain forms of speech on that main Mastodon platform.
This is true.
But there may be other Mastodons that don't have those same rules because they're not being
the Libertarian server, right?
Well, I don't know what they're. I mean, I suspect you can't get on there and threaten people like on Libertadon. So
yeah, but that
Libertadon,
would be anti-libertarian.
I don't think that
anyway,
Libertadon allows for spam. Okay. And I'm not sure what their policy is on racism. I'm not clear on that.
Okay.
So that would be something worth checking out.
Yeah.
And again, if you can't find one that matches your policies, then just create your own.
Right.
Anyway, let's go to Douglas on the line here in Manchester. Actually, you know what, Douglas, hang on. We're going to bring you back here in just a moment. 855 450 free. Want to make sure you have enough time to get your thoughts out with us. Now, coming up, we've talked about the bans from the platform, the centralized platform known as Facebook. But what does Facebook consider itself? Is it a platform or is it a publisher?
Even they can't decide.
We'll get into it, and you can share your thoughts
with us. It depends.
It depends on whatever legal argument, apparently.
Right, it depends on what court case we're talking about.
Yeah, 855-450-FREE like freedom, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever is on your mind. It is Free Talk Live. You're invited to join us here if you want. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord on our call-in line rooms. You can join them over at discord.lrn.fm. And also want to make sure that you know about Edge Wallet. It is a great wallet out there, especially for newer users. If you've never gotten into the world of cryptocurrency before, one of the things that's great about Edge is it's actually a username and password that you back up instead of a dozen words. When you create a cryptocurrency wallet, the most important thing that you can do is back up whatever backup information there is, whether it's Edge or Coinomi or whatever it is you end up getting. You always want to back it up. But with most of the crypto wallets, they make you write down these words, 12 of them at least. In some cases, it's like 18 or 24. It just depends. And when you look at those words, they don't really mean anything to you. But your username and password, you can know when you're looking at that, that those are your logins. And we actually had an issue with a different wallet recently here in the Keene area, where a merchant had a different wallet that had the 12-word backup. They had written down the words from this wallet back when they screenshotted the words.
Oh, right.
Which is bad security, but people do it all the time. And many people will do it intending that they're going to write them down when they get home or whatever. And so they screenshotted the words of this other wallet that apparently at this time, that wallet, or at the time that this happened in 2017, that other wallet and I'm just not going to name it just because they purportedly fixed this problem now, mm-hmm. but at the time it was a problem that they considered to be a feature. The feature apparently still exists, but at least now they supposedly give you a heads up on it. It's an iOS wallet. Anyway, when he screenshotted it, apparently as a security feature, this other wallet then just decided to change the seed words on him at that point and give him completely new seed words. And he didn't know, and I was there with him, so I didn't know. And so the words that he screenshotted didn't end up being the words that were actually associated with his wallet.
That seems so weird.
It's crazy, but that's what they told me. I talked to the tech support, and that's what they told me. So a year later, after he'd collected money for selling things, it's a local merchant selling food for Bitcoin and other cryptos. He accidentally, when he bought a new phone, he gave his old phone to his son. And when he did that, he made a security error of formatting his old phone, like wiping it out before he gave it to his son. And he did that before he loaded that other wallet on his new phone. So had he kept his old phone in its state that it was in and put the same wallet on his new phone, he would have at least then known it would have failed, because it failed. He used the words that he wrote that he ended up, you know, printing out from the screenshot, but they weren't the right words, and he and I had no idea they weren't the right words. So it was terrible design on this other wallet's part. That's why I said if it had just been Edge Wallet and he'd had a username and password, he could have looked at it and known, like, that's my username and password. There would have been no question, because one of the things I was asking him was, are you sure you didn't make a new wallet and put the wrong words down, basically.
Yeah.
And he said, no, it's absolutely the words.
I could understand if they prevented screenshotting, but not for them to give a different set of words.
A whole new set of, yeah.
Because that's just mind-bogglingly dumb.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it when I talked to that other wallet company. Anyway, so username and password is what you use with the Edge wallet, and that makes it super easy, especially for newbies. There's an iOS and Android version, of course, and they support, I don't know how many different cryptos, but there's a bunch of them. Of course, the main big ones like Dash and Bitcoin, BTC, Ethereum, many of the tokens for Ethereum, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, Bitcoin Cash, and many more. They've been programming wallets over there at Edge for a long time, since before it was even called Edge. It used to be Airbits, which was a Bitcoin wallet. It was the best Bitcoin-only wallet. But now they've got multi-crypto, and that's awesome. Edge.app is where you can go to secure your freedom. Edge.app is their website. As we go to your calls and thoughts here, let's talk to Douglas in Manchester. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Douglas.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to let you guys know that they were saying Chris Robinson is a fascist. I mean, he's the total opposite of a fascist. He's just talking the truth. And
is it Chris Robinson or Tommy Robinson?
I think he means Tommy Robinson.
Oh, is it Tommy? I'm sorry.
I don't know. That's what the other guy said before he said something we had to drop off the air. But I don't know anything about this character.
Is.
Now, are you calling from Manchester, New Hampshire, Tommy, or Manchester, England?
No, New Hampshire, the real one. That's right.
You know there's a bunch of Manchesters, right? Like there's Manchester, Connecticut, Manchester, Vermont.
No, the only one that counts is Manchester, New Hampshire. And I'm telling you, this guy is the only one who's speaking up for freedom in Europe.
Freedom.
And
okay.
They're shutting him down. They're shutting him down.
What are they doing to him?
That's interesting. Oh, he was...
Well, he's under surveillance all the time.
Well, and also earlier this year, he was arrested for filming something, and regarding a trial or something, or the judge, it was like judicial.
Oh yeah, they're not allowed to do that over there in Europe.
Yeah, and he was in jail, and they put him in like the worst like part of the jail, and basically like trying to get him killed. And I believe he's gotten out. I believe he's out now.
BBC article, who is Tommy Robinson and why is he in jail? He has been jailed for 13 months. This was back in June of 2018, so I presume he's out now since apparently somebody threw him.
And this is state-run British. This is the state-run British, just letting everyone know that. The British Broadcasting Company is a crown corporation run by the British government.
Oh, okay, this is actually a video. There's not even an article here associated with it. He has was thrown in jail for breaking contempt of court laws for streaming a Facebook Live outside of the court.
Wait, what?
I don't even understand how that's possible.
That's communism.
Well, it's not communism. It's authoritarianism.
Yeah.
Same thing.
No, you can be an authoritarian and be a conservative.
Yeah, but you could... But he's saying that communism is authoritarian.
Communism is a system.
Or depends on
right,
authoritarianism.
Oh, well, of course. So I'm saying communism is authoritarian, but so is, you know, fascism.
It's just blanket authoritarian in this case.
It's the norm there now.
What's the norm here? Authoritarianism is the norm.
It's norm everywhere, as far as I'm aware.
We live in America. We could walk down the road with a rifle in our hand.
You live in New Hampshire.
You live in New Hampshire.
I'm sorry.
How long have you lived? how long have you lived in New Hampshire?
My whole life.
Okay.
Well, there
Have you ever Have you ever visited other places in the United States?
I've been to Canada.
Okay. And what did you have to do with your gun when you went to Canada?
Hide it.
You can't get a... You didn't smuggle a gun across the border, right? You didn't actually successfully...
Well, don't answer that. Please don't answer that.
Hey, I'm worried about Bigfoot. If I come across Bigfoot in the mountains, I got to have my .44.
No, wait a minute. What if the Bigfoot's friendly? What if he's approaching you because he's just hungry?
It is
then we'll smoke weed. That's it.
In some places, it is a crime to shoot at like a Bigfoot or something. There's some law against it.
But hey, Douglas, I'm glad that you live in New Hampshire. It's a great place. We're actually broadcasting from Keene, New Hampshire as well.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, and so it's wonderful to be able to carry guns openly, and that's something you can do in New Hampshire. A lot of other places, you can't do it. You know that in Massachusetts, you can't have a gun in most cases, right?
Oh, I've been there many times illegally. Right.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Douglas. I appreciate hearing from you. And it's true. A lot of people have done illegal things. That makes them illegals too, doesn't it? 855-4- We're all illegals now. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Yeah, New Hampshire is one of the freest places in the United States, in the world, when it comes to gun ownership and the right to bear arms. This is Free Talk Live.
Are you concerned that liberty, free market economics, and the values that made America great are no longer taught in schools? Well, so am I. So I got my son the Tuttle Twins children's book series.
My name is Jack, and I'm 11 years old, and I just started the Tuttle Twins. So far, I have learned that some people can use the government to ruin the economy and destroy people's businesses.
Give all the young people in your life a chance at reason and clear thought, because they're not going to get it at school. There are 9 books in the series, and each one teaches a set of ideas that children aren't getting elsewhere. Go to TuttleTwins.com and use coupon code FTL to get 40% off. Again, that's Tuttle Twins.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial in toll free, bring up whatever you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord on air call in lines over at discord.lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian,
you got Vincent,
and Chris.
And coming up, ForkFest is, I mean, it's going to be here before you know it.
It is.
You go to forkfest.party, and you can learn more about the event that's happening the third time. By the way, it's the third annual, June 13th through the 18th. There's already people taking orders for T-shirts that are going to be made. I saw you ordered a couple of them this afternoon.
For myself, too.
Did you see that they already had 135 shirts ordered, like, within 24 hours of announcing this?
What?
I could have sworn I read that right.
Wait, how is that even possible?
I don't know. There must have been orders off the chat room, right? Because there's the ForkFest chat room over at forkfest.party. You can link to it. And that's where the shirts were, you know, pictures were posted.
I mean, does that mean that there's like that many people actually interested in going to ForkFest?
Well, it could be, 30 or 40 people ordering multiple shirts, right? So we don't know how many.
Yeah, but I ordered two. I doubt there's too many people ordering 2 shirts. So even if half of them
most of the people ordering are ordering more than
1. I mean, that's got to be like 70 people alone. It's like every single person in the
Yeah, I'd say it's probably 50 to 70 people at least that
so,
are ordering shirts.
Yeah, interesting.
He says, Ernest Hancock says, I've got pre-orders for 135 shirts in various sizes.
Well, maybe the event's bigger than we thought.
Or maybe he's I don't know. It sounds pretty good so far.
Yeah.
So, like, people are excited. I know Jay Noon told me that he's going to celebrate his one-year wedding or one-year anniversary for his wedding that he had last year at
ForkFest.
So he's having another party. He's inviting all the people who couldn't make it to his wedding last year. He's saying, come on out. Let's throw a party at ForkFest. There's, of course, Jay Noon's also going to be doing Man Camp. Our friends from AnyPay, Derek and Steven, are throwing a party every single night, including the Big Gay Dance Party. They're bringing back... So it's wonderful to see all these things happening. It's all being self-organized. Nobody's in charge of ForkFest. It's a decentralized libertarian camping event. Vincent, you're going for your first time. That was a yes, right?
Yes.
Like you're just nodding. You can't hear nodding on the
air. Just one trouble, isn't it?
And you and I, Chris, we've been, did you go every year?
I think I've been every year, yeah.
So we're all three here.
I haven't been, I don't know if I've ever attended the entire time because just business gets in the way of two weeks of you know, that's a long time to get to take off. But
so join us June 13th through the 18th. You can register your campsite or your RV site or even a motel room. Those I believe are still available for ForkFest at Rogers Campground. It's in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. It's a great excuse to come up, check out New Hampshire. It's the last week of springtime, and you can join us there. Free Talk Live will be broadcasting from the event. We'll look forward to seeing you. Go to forkfest.party, unofficial website, unofficial chat room, unofficial forum, all linked there. ForkFest.party. As we continue, Vincent, you were going to tell us about, you know, since we kind of had a Facebook theme here tonight and how awful Facebook is and they're now banning more people they consider to be dangerous, You've been looking at a story about their court, some kind of court case or court cases where they're describing themselves as either a platform or a
publisher. Absolutely, yeah. This comes from via The Guardian, and it's a year old story, right? So, but I think it's still, you know, it's obviously an ongoing issue. And you know, the article's title is "Facebook a Publisher?" In public, it says no, but in court, it says yes.
Hmm.
Facebook has long had the same public response when questioned about its disruption of the news industry. It is a tech platform, not a publisher or a media company. But in a small courtroom in California's Redwood City on Monday, attorneys for the social media company presented a different message from the one executives had made to Congress in interviews and in speeches. Facebook, they repeatedly argued, is a publisher and a company that makes editorial decisions which are protected by the First Amendment.
Are they saying they published their own content? Because I guess Mark, blog.
It's probably not incorrect, really, because they have editorial control, but they don't necessarily produce their own content. So in some respects, they are.
Well, there was that article that Mark, the CEO guy, what's that?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg, that he wrote where he editorialized about why the government ought to control Facebook. He did post that to his own blog, which is hosted by Facebook. So I guess they are publishing his blogs.
I you know, the thing is, that's not really what they're talking about, though. It's not his blogs that they're talking about. They're talking about like the moderation of news. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Facebook have a like site or something or part of Facebook that has people submit news stories to it, just like Google News?
At one point in time, they did. I haven't seen I haven't noticed it since.
I mean, that's my understanding of what's happening
2016.
Here. And if that's the case,
this stems directly from a lawsuit by an app startup. So it has they do voice very specific complaints here. It's the contradictory claim is Facebook's latest tactic against a high profile lawsuit exposing a growing tension for the Silicon Valley Corporation, which has long presented itself as a neutral platform that does not have traditional journalistic responsibilities. The suit, filed by an app startup, alleges that Mark Zuckerberg developed a quote, malicious and fraudulent scheme to exploit users' personal data and force rival companies out of a business.
Well, it's not fraudulent. I mean, don't people know that they're being advertised to on Facebook? It's pretty clear. Like, I suppose you could have read the terms and conditions where it does make it clear, from what I understand, that whatever you post to Facebook, you grant them an unrevocable license to use however they want. If they want to take your video and put it in their television commercial, they don't have to pay you a dime.
Now, you have some responsibility to learn about the world, right? Like, I mean,
right, if that you're inhabiting,
if you're
that you're choosing
be so
to
so yeah. willfully ignorant of the fact that companies make money off of your viewing ads on the internet, okay? You know, you really only have yourself to blame. I mean, it's just ridiculous that you can go into a courtroom and say this is some malicious scheme. No, it's part of the deal. It's part of how the internet has grown up. Now, I understand people don't like the ads, and sometimes publishers give you a way to, you know, or websites give you a way to avoid the ads, but sometimes they don't. And if you don't like that, go to a competing site. You know, you don't have to use
that site. Oh, but
it's
so much easier to complain than to actually do something. And to actually take action.
Look, they can't make you go to that site, and you also don't have you don't have to go to that site. So.
Nor do you have a right to go there either. It's not your property.
Right, right. I mean, you have to have a meeting of the minds, so to speak. You know, both parties have to agree in order
That's
to make it happen.
That's purportedly what a contract is.
Right.
But, of course, terms of service aren't a real contract. I understand people want to believe that they are, but they're not. They're not a real contract.
Right, I would agree with you on that. But still, there's still like, you know, when you send something to somebody else, they have to receive it, but they can ignore it or drop it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there is, you know, look, if Facebook starts sending you stuff and you don't like it, ignore it, you know, drop it.
That's right.
That's how the internet works. You know, it's, I'm amazed, you know, this is something that I have a story and it's, I don't know, oh, unfortunately, it's not the one I was going to bring up, but it's this thing that people don't seem to understand, that you don't own other people. There's not a single jurisdiction that, you know, when you're on the internet, you're not in a single jurisdiction. There's laws all over the place. The only thing that, you know, automatically by signing up to the internet, you agree to receive anything that's sent to you. You don't have to read it. You don't have to,
right.
You have to receive it, but you don't have to read it. So ultimately, if you understand that, you really shouldn't be complaining about these sorts of situations where even like a DDoS attack or spam, it's not really something that you can at least argue that there should be a law against it.
Well, I'm sure some people would argue that there should be a law against it, but thank goodness there isn't, because
but you agreed to it by signing up for the internet. That's what the internet is. You do not have the option of not receiving something that somebody else sent. The same thing applies.
As long as you put yourself out there, as long as you put an email out there, then you're going to receive email at it, right? Like, you know, if I create a Bitcoin account and I don't publish the address, there's nothing going to come into the Bitcoin account. The same thing's true for your email address. Well, if you don't publish it, then nobody's going to send you anything.
When you get on the internet, okay, you have an IP address, okay? And that IP address, anybody can send something to, okay? Whether or not they know who you are or not. And there's not that many addresses. So they could send a ping, for example, a very small amount of data to every single IP address, right?
Yep.
And you would get that ping. And if you don't want to receive that ping, well, you don't really have a choice. The only thing that you can do is ignore that ping.
You can block them in your firewall.
You can, but you still have received that ping ultimately. You've just dropped it.
You just don't know.
That's all the firewall is doing.
The firewall is providing.
Right. And that's how the internet works.
The toll-free number is 855-450 free like freedom. I think you're right, though, Chris. Probably 95% of the people on the internet don't understand the basics about it.
No.
They don't know how it works.
No.
They don't know anything about what goes on when they type in a website.
You can't get your government passes a law. It doesn't affect the people overseas.
This is
doesn't
really work. Live. More coming.
Experience
Free Talk Live. 855-450 free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord on air call in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Is Facebook a platform on which other people can put their things? It seems like it's obviously a platform. Or is it a publisher? Now, apparently, Facebook has made both arguments in court. Is it, Vincent? Is that what you're telling us here?
Yeah, absolutely. In court.
So if you want to join the conversation, you can. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Also, you can watch Free Talk Live on our video streaming platform. So we're back on Twitch after being suspended for a few days last weekend. You can go to twitch.lrn.fm to follow us there and do that. Or you can follow us on the newer DLive platform, which seems to be on track to exceed Twitch as far as the number of followers are concerned. I think we're over 500 on DLive right now. I could be wrong. We may be just under, but we're getting there. We are at the very least at the halfway mark of the total number of Twitch followers that we have, and it took us a year. We've been on Twitch since January of 2018. We've only been on DLive for 3 weeks. It's going to be, 1 week from today. It'll be a full month since we've been on DLive, and we're already at almost half the number of
followers. I have to wonder if DLive is manipulating the numbers for, gain of, to keep people who enter the platform on the platform.
I don't think so.
I don't necessarily know that needs to be the case, but it seems like it's plausible given all the different things different companies have done over the years.
We actually have people interacting on the DLive chat. When there are people watching, they will be chatting. So it's not like DLive is sending robots around to try to make their
streams the numbers are inflated doesn't necessarily mean you wouldn't have anybody chatting. It just means that there may not be as many actual people.
Well, we'd love for you to inflate our numbers over at DLive.lrn.fm by clicking that follow button and follow our channel there. So we can continue here. Did you have more from the story that you wanted to share, Vincent, about Facebook?
Yeah. I mean, it argues repeatedly it's a publisher and that it makes editorial decisions. So they reiterate.
Well, they've certainly made the decision on who to include on their platform.
Yeah, absolutely, which is why even back then a year ago people are calling them out for it. And it's the rest of it's just, them the two companies bickering and arguing.
Right, they were being sued by some company claiming
a former startup.
I think it's probably fair to say that they're a publisher, just not a traditional publisher. Because ultimately a publisher is somebody who takes information from another party and publishes it, but they're not doing the editorial.
Right. Usually there's an editor in the way.
That content. Right.
Right. There's an artist, there's a journalist, and then the editor looks over the submission.
Right. So it's just not a traditional publisher.
Mm-hmm.
It's also one of a lot of it is a dispute over access to the data, right? So from my understanding of the article, the startup worked with Facebook and was given promise, allegedly, to have access to the data of all mm-hmm. their users that they have, and then it didn't work out, and then they've decided to sue, and it's... Yeah, and I just the last bit here is relevant. It says, questions about Facebook's moral and legal responsibilities as a publisher have escalated surrounding its role in spreading fake news and propaganda, along with questionable censorship decisions. Eric Goldman, a Santa Clara University law professor, says it was frustrating to see Facebook publicly deny that it was a publisher in some context, but claim it as a defense in count. And then just a quote... It's politically expedient to deflect responsibility for making editorial judgments by claiming to be a platform, he said, adding, but it makes editorial decisions all the time, and it's making them more frequently.
Sure.
So when they were talking about the fraudulent in the suit, saying that Facebook was fraudulent, I think that's sort of what they meant by it, by its claim that it's fraudulent because it put itself out and advertises itself as a platform, and then yet it's behaving as if a publisher would do, and they get all the benefits and defense that they could from being a platform.
I mean, why can't you be a platform and a publisher? Right. Like, it just doesn't seem to me that, you know,
it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Right. That doesn't mean you're not the other. It seems to me like any kind of platform where the entity is hosting basically the information is in a, at least not a traditional publisher, but a pseudo publisher, I guess.
I mean, every platform is going to have rules on which, you know, the users have to adhere.
I don't even know that it really matters whether or not they're a publisher or not. I mean, they're a private entity. They have their own rights in terms of speech anyway.
Sure.
Regardless of whether or not they're a publisher.
855-450-FREE is our toll-free number. That's 855-450-3733.
Okay, here's the difference. I see. It's so in regards to, you know, platform versus a publisher, in some cases we're given, I think what people take issue in is that we're given protections for both, right? It's, I have here via...
Like some kind of legal protection?
Yeah, this is from cityjournal.org, and it's the Communications Decency Act immunizes online platforms for their users' defamatory, fraudulent, or otherwise unlawful content. Congress granted
that's
this
starting to change, though, as the European laws are starting to make the platforms liable for the content.
And I think in this article it also goes on, says, which is why Facebook might trying to be shifting towards, you know, claiming to be a publisher, because like it's being spurred by those decisions in Europe.
I'm not entirely sure that it makes any difference, because unless they're actually reviewing what they're publishing, you know, it really doesn't.
Well, publishers. I think the idea is publishers ought to be reviewing what they're putting out there. So it's like as a platform, they have no say in anything that's illegal.
But a publisher has no obligation to review what they publish.
Well, no, because they can't publish something illegal. And they can't publish anything illegal here. So that's what
they mean. That's not actually how it works in the United States. The way it works in the United States is, the government cannot pre-review what is to be published. It has to be published, and then they can go after you for what was published. But there's a very high standard, basically.
Well, of course, we've seen even in the United States, they're cracking down on personal ads. We saw that last year with the SESTA-FOSTA Act that criminalized a platform or whatever, having like Craigslist, for instance. That's why they shut down their personals section, criminalizing any, like if you had three different advertisements that had the code words for prostitution in them, they would be considered they'd be considered like human traffickers.
Yeah. So the question is that actually legal? And I think we have a situation where just because they pass a law doesn't necessarily mean the law is legal.
I see what you're saying.
I think that's
still need to be challenged.
That's right, and it will be, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, Craigslist just walked away. They didn't challenge it.
That's true. I think it will be in time, but it probably won't be Craigslist.
But who's it going to be? I mean, Backpage got taken down by the federal government.
I don't know. But I think in time it will be, and I don't know. Isn't even the EFF getting behind that? But I don't necessarily know that there's anybody they've gotten behind, because they still have to have a case in order to,
that's a good
do that.
Question.
But I think they've come out against it.
Launch their own personal site.
Yeah. Right. And usually you don't want to be if you were defending another, you want to defend another entity,
right?
Not
you don't want to be the person,
right? Be the one,
especially as an attorney,
right? Exactly. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
It's getting worse,
yeah.
And internet freedom is not what it used to be. And that's not just true in Europe or the UK, where, of course, they got the infamous porn ban that's going into effect. There have been a lot of stories about that in the UK, where websites that don't adhere to the new laws in the UK. So even if you're outside of the UK, if you want UK visitors to your porn site, you have to adhere to these new laws or you're going to get put on a blocked list.
I mean,
your site won't be allowed into the country.
It's censorship. I mean, it's plain out
straight up
censorship.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. But they're not the first to do it. You've already got Australia that has had porn blocks in for quite a while. And then, of course, the EU now with these ridiculous copyright restrictions where uploading a thing to YouTube or Twitch will get YouTube or Twitch held liable for copyright if it's a violation, for instance. Mm-hmm. It's no longer the individual's liability. The liability has shifted now to the corporations, which means they're going to be even more restrictive.
You won't be able to upload anything on YouTube in Europe anymore because they're going to be liable for it.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to get around it. I mean, they're probably going to – I would be shocked if they turn off uploading entirely for Europe. So they're going to figure some highly restrictive way.
Are they
going
to publish but not allow access to that content in Europe? So it would be accessible outside of Europe, but it's not necessarily in Europe?
I know that it doesn't – I recall from our discussions about this law, and I forget what it was called, but
– Article 13, and I think it changed to 17. But
that it doesn't go into effect yet until the each European Union country can implement it somehow.
And that's just how Europe works. Because it's not I don't know what you call it exactly, but it's not each individual country is still a country. They've just agreed to basically
follow
obey
these stupid rules.
Yeah, to pass their own laws once an agreement.
So I think it wasn't going to be any sooner than like 2020 or maybe later on.
Yeah.
So we've got a little time to see what shakes out, but it's not good.
You can already see the censorship in Europe today. You can't access a lot of news sites in the U.S. as an example.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I've seen that. 855, 450, free, but that's being done by the news sites in the U.S.
Yeah,
they're
well,
the
because
ones
they
blocking
become,
them.
The Europe is trying to say that they're liable for it.
Would you like to hang out with Penn Jillette? He's keynoting Freedom Fest this year. I, for one, am thrilled. Freedom Fest is the largest liberty-oriented gathering in the world. They take a big tent approach with libertarians, conservatives, liberals, anarchists, capitalists, and just open-minded people mingling together to hear real debates, share real solutions, and converse freely. This year's theme is the Wild West, a time of liberty and opportunity, or a time of anarchy and violence. Maybe both. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and get your tickets now. freedomfest.com/FTL. Not convinced yet? Hey, I understand. It's a high-end event. Even with coupon code FTL50, sure, you're likely to receive investment advice that'll make that sum seem paltry. But I have something special for you. Go to freedomfest.com/FTL and you'll get the 5 best speeches from last year for free. Call it a test drive. Do yourself a favor and go to freedomfest.com/FTL. freedomfest.com/FTL. Use coupon code FTL50 for a discount.
It's Free Talk Live, launching into the third hour of the program here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord on-air call-in line rooms, and as always, they're open and available to you. Now, I think we've talked enough about Facebook here tonight. It is something that hopefully we'll never have to talk about again in the future once they fail and go out of business. But for right now, it is something that has trapped a lot of our friends in its addictive throes, or whatever you want to call it, its addictiveness. And we do want to see people get out of there if possible. So there's always some ridiculous news about them. Anyway, in other news, Chris, I know you had a story about Apple, the computer company.
Yep.
And I know back to like when I was a teenager, you know, growing up in the 1990s as a teen, and I was getting into doing computer repair. I know you actually had a computer repair business at one point. Did you ever have to deal with Apple, or did you just refuse?
That's a good question. I did have a couple of customers, but to be honest, most of the computer repair stuff I was doing at that time, Apple wasn't really very large. It was a company that was basically going out of business at the time.
Apple was?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
Apple almost collapsed entirely. I think they even filed for chapter 11 bankruptcy or something like that.
Well, the reason I bring it up is, no, it wasn't just Apple. I think Compaq also was like this. There were a couple of the PC manufacturers where if you ever tried to get into their computer, let's say you wanted to upgrade the memory. Let's say you wanted to put a new hard drive in or put a video card in or whatever it was you wanted to do. You couldn't get into these things. They had bizarre screw types, like not just a hex, but like some kind of, like there's Phillips head, there's flathead. Well, they had something else entirely.
Yeah.
And the average person wouldn't be able to go out to their garage and have one of these things. It was like a special type of screwdriver.
That's right.
That you couldn't get into. And they had other mechanisms inside the computer that made it difficult.
I remember, in 1997, 1998, they actually had, I think, a little strip of some sort of seal to seal the computer. So if you tried to open them,
they would know.
Yeah, they would know. And I think I'm pretty sure that was Apple. Now,
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it may have been one of the clone makers that I'm thinking of so there were Apple clones, but nonetheless.
They had Apple clones?
There were, for a while, Apple licensed their technology. Yeah, this is a time period when Apple was in decline.
Yeah, and they were desperate.
They were desperate.
I see.
And
because for the longest time, they, like these other computer companies, had this proprietary mindset of, we don't want to let anyone in our computer to fix it except our official licensed fixer people, technicians or whatever, right? You have to go to the official Apple people because they will charge you an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it yourself. You couldn't just go to the average computer guy and have him do it.
And that's exactly what they're aiming for now.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So you've got a news story that is related to the way things have always been for Apple.
The headline of the story, I think, is the most absolutely insane thing. And it's not
where's
that
it coming from, this story?
So this story is coming from Motherboard.
Okay. Which is Vice, by the way.
Yeah. So Apple is telling lawmakers people will hurt themselves if they try to fix iPhones.
Well, I was going to say, I've cut myself trying to fix a computer before. Like, sometimes inside a computer, there's some sharp edges. Sometimes the metal is, you've cut yourself before, right?
Like yes. Opening.
So you could hurt yourself in that way.
It's been a long, long time. It's not been since like the 90s that I cut myself trying to open up a computer.
And honestly, it would be pretty hard to do it with an iPhone because that's way different. I'm sure there's no like metal rails with edges on them inside the
iPhone.
A circuit board.
The absurdity of this is just
a battery, a circuit board.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's certainly true that you can potentially cause like a dangerous situation to occur if you open your phone.
Like
but it's
what?
It's not batteries can like explode and stuff if you like puncture a battery.
Okay, yeah.
But
just opening the phone will not puncture the battery.
Right, like it's not, well, no, but the thing is like people...
Unless you use like a drill.
Okay, so they're trying to make the argument that you're average individuals, but the problem is average individuals don't open up their devices.
No way.
It's technical people who open up the devices.
Right.
They know these things already. So the idea that, preventing them, like going out of the way to prevent them is necessary for safety reasons is ridiculous. Look, there's going to be people who do stupid stuff. There's people who are going to, intentionally, explode the battery and such. But they're going to do it whether or not, that this law passes that requires Apple to provide parts to consumers. Now, that's basically
the proposal.
That's the proposal. And this is why I don't agree with this. It's not so much that I don't want to provide parts to my own customer. I have a company that competes with Apple.
Right.
And we do want to provide parts and make sure that those computers continue to work.
ThinkPenguin.com.
Right. ThinkPenguin.com. But the point is simply that you don't own another person. And it should be the market that decides this. If you don't want a company to have that kind of control over you, you should not be going with that company. You should be going with a different company.
Correct.
I mean, it's...
So, just to be clear, I saw a headline about this in Canada. Is this the Canadian version of this story, or is this a U.S. version? Because in Canada, apparently, there was a law that would force tech companies to provide parts to consumers.
Let's read a little into this, because I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
And I don't think they should have to.
I think this is the U.S., but...
Because apparently that law was defeated.
Yeah, this is California specifically, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, somebody made the same proposal in Canada recently, because there was another headline that just came out recently about that. Very similar. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is across the board. I think it's a lot of states. This is just California specifically.
Actually, you know what? Before you get deeper in, let's talk to Ron. He's on the line in California.
Okay, great.
Ron, you're on Free Talk Live listening online. Go ahead.
Yes, I appreciate it. I had a concern that I've been following. I work with student service projects, and they were looking at the vaping the alternative to tobacco smoke.
Yes, sir.
And their realization was they found that the biggest distributor of the vaping products, who has 70% of the market, is out of San Francisco, therefore developed
Juul
from a couple of guys out of Silicon Valley. Now, what does this do? No harm. We have 27.7%, according to CDC, of high school and mid-school students in use of the product. And now they've found that younger kids who come near it, who are around it, probably in ages down from 14, they get seizures from it. There's
what?
Toxic substances that, yes, this is all a factor. I'm not saying one thing it isn't, because when working with students, you want facts only. And you're also talking about chemicals that are heated to a height to make the nicotine stronger so the individual has a high. Now, when you're talking about that many kids already there, they're already in promoting the next generation who follow the role models. These people that put this thing together, put flavored products together, the company that just gave them last August $12 billion plus, that's $12 billion, not million, is a cigarette company who back in the 60s was one of the most successful child producers of sugared flavored drinks, including Tang and others that are well known, Kool-Aid and so forth. Now, these people merged together.
Which company are you talking about?
Pardon me?
Which company produced Tang and also sold cigarettes?
San Francisco, it's the largest manufacturer of vapor, these products.
No. Hold on. You're talking about the Juul Corporation, right? The one that is based in San Francisco.
That's the name of the company that has that marketplace, yes.
Right. Now, you said they teamed up with the manufacturer of Tang and a cigarette company?
That's a cigarette company. Philip Morris, the manufacturer of Philip Morris, got into producing the product Tang. They own the product.
Yeah.
Then when the market went a little bit slow after the space age movement, which put Tang out on the advertising, they went into specifically marketing children's sugared flavored products.
You do understand that different companies, a lot of companies target a heck of a lot of different markets, right? Like a company is not exclusive necessarily to a particular thing. Like, for example, there are car companies that produce engines, but there's also car companies who produce other types of products.
Car companies. We're talking about.
Well, cars kill people too, dude.
Flavored products. They merge together. Now,
are you really trying to get on the air and argue against vaporizers?
No, not at all.
Well, what are you saying?
The youth market having it. That's what I'm arguing against. That youth market was promoted because of
you can't legally buy a vape juice in any store in America and be under the age of 18. So what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? When did you have your first cigarette or your first beer, or when did an actual
I think
cigarette?
I had my first cigarette
11 when I had my first beer.
I was maybe 36, 35, something like that. Hang on, Ron. I'm going to bring you back here because he actually seems to be against vaporizers. He's against youth use of vaporizers because he wants them to smoke cigarettes, I think.
Is that what he's arguing?
Well, we'll let him say it for himself. Coming up. He hung up.
Oh, really?
Damn it. We were going to have so much fun with him, too.
Yeah.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. That's too bad, man, because that guy was sounding like a real straight-up prohibitionist nut job. I mean, he was talking about how bad vaporizers are and how dangerous vaporizers are, and the children are being...
What? All right, so wait a minute. Do you know... he's talking about, like, kids having heart attacks or something, right? Or something?
I looked it up. USA Today, it says, what was it, via FDA, 35 people reported having seizures after using electronic cigarettes over the past decade.
That's okay, 35
mostly,
people
is
mostly
decade.
Mostly
young people, they
and
say.
And wasn't this the result of, I think I read some story about this, and wasn't it like the result of, so this is being basically manipulated, they're manipulating people with this information.
Wasn't it something like they were defective or something, and that's why they had the seizures? It had nothing
maybe
to do with
maybe it was just 35 people who happened to have a seizure who also happened to use a vaporizer.
Yeah, I could believe that,
too. I mean, people have seizures.
Listen, guys, having a phone in your pocket is dangerous. There's a battery in there, and sometimes
could
they explode.
A vaporizer. This is the more realistic concern about a vaporizer,
right.
is that the battery can explode.
Right.
That has happened to people.
It's not exclusive to the vaporizers. It happens in phones.
All batteries,
it happens in all devices that have some sort of lithium-ion battery. They're extremely dangerous in the certain circumstances, and it's a very low risk, but it happens.
Yeah, and it's true. The phone could explode while it was near your face, but the odds are the vaporizer...
It doesn't usually work like that. They'll usually, you'll know because they get warm.
They
and
get
then,
really hot, yeah.
And then they like catch on fire, and like it doesn't happen the way... It doesn't just explode. Like, you know something's going on when these, you know, phones or devices catch on fire.
Now, I imagine a vaporizer exploding could be a little more damaging because, you know, you've got it in your mouth at the time. It could, you know, blow your jaw off or something
maybe,
like that.
Maybe, but that's
or whatever.
Assuming that,
know.
Like, you don't realize it's about to explode. Like, I mean, if it's getting
always.
Warm...
I mean, there's some video. Of people
if
who
it's getting
it's usually
warm.
With a mod or something they
a mod
yeah if they modify it they put some sort of part or something.
Oh really?
Yeah, I mean I've heard stories. I've never seen it happen.
There's some cheap ones out there too that are probably not that safe, but listen, the way this works is something like they tend to start to get warm and such. Basically, if you have any kind of device and it's getting warm, like really warm, and
there's
it's
a
not
chemical
normally,
reaction probably happening in there, and
there's a good chance it's going to catch fire, and that's a threat, and you're not going to be able to put it out. You want to get that, whatever that device is, outside where it's not going to burn anything, you know,
good
because
advice.
It could catch on fire. It could catch, you know, the couch on fire, your floors on fire, whatever. It can't be put out. Water will actually make it worse.
That's an interesting detail, Vincent, because I've heard of these stories where people's vaporizers have blown up, and it's like, oh man, that's a bummer. But if they're actually too, you know, fiddling around with their vaporizer and modifying it in ways, if that's happening now, how many times that happens when they blow up, we don't know. I mean,
how
probably,
many people do it in the first place?
It's not. Listen, it's not that common. It's a very rare.
We're talking
thing.
About out of millions of vaporizers,
right? It's basically this is FUD. It's fear, uncertainty, doubt. Okay,
right.
they're creating this concern that, you know, there's some risk here. It's there's no risk of significance here. It's,
yeah, I mean, there's a risk you're going to walk outside and get hit by a car too.
Right. I mean,
you
know? Look,
well, I mean, I
the
think
most dangerous thing you do is probably drive. It's not. It's not a phone in your pocket, even though it can be potentially dangerous.
Well, one issue I could see is that it's still, you know, it's still nicotine, you know, still delivering nicotine.
That's where
addictive.
He was going. I think that's where he was going with this.
Yeah,
was that,
I mean,
you know, I don't want to put words in the guy's mouth, but he left. We didn't hang up on him. Yeah. I wanted him to still be there.
Call
so
back.
Continue the discussion. Right. We normally have only one call per night limit, but if you know, if we didn't get rid of you, then it was an accident or whatever. You're certainly welcome to call back. But the idea is, well, nicotine bad, children flavored vape. Flavors. That, you know, the idea is the flavors are marketing towards children. The suggestion is that adults don't like flavors. That adults would only want to use something
ridiculous.
That's unflavored.
This is the most. This is like saying I don't like sugar anymore, or I don't like to drink soda
just you're in your
because
30s.
I'm an adult, right? Because I'm in my 30s. I don't know. This is just how do people come up with this? And like, I guess they're not. Thinking, they're emotional, like they're reacting to emotions.
They
and
want to protect the children.
Producing bits that they hear from others, you know, propaganda, I think is what it comes down to. And it's probably likely, you know, the humorous thing about this is it's often competing industries or established industries like the cigarette industry pushing this kind of propaganda.
Well, now, the claim that he made was, or at least one of the claims he made was true. Apparently, Altria, which is the, I believe, parent company of Philip Morris, if I don't have that backwards or whatever, Altria did buy 35% stake in Juul. Now, Juul is the very popular, what they call nicotine salts.
Yeah.
So, unlike some vaporizers where it's some form of fluid nicotine, these nicotine salts are a more concentrated form of nicotine, which means that... and this is a good thing, okay? Now, the people that hate nicotine are going to hate on it no matter what. They're going to say, oh, my God, more nicotine, bad. But it's a good thing because it gets people who are cigarette smokers to quit smoking cigarettes. I submit to you the example of Chris Reitman. He is our Thursday night co-host. And if you've ever hosted a show with Chris Reitman, you know that on the hour, he always gets up, goes outside, smokes a cigarette. And he was frequently going out outside of his business. He's frequently outside smoking cigarettes because, you know, don't want to smoke inside. And he got turned on to these nicotine salt devices. Now, Juul isn't the only company that does this. There are competitors, and I imagine they offer their products for less. And this works for him. He's tried vaporizers before, and they haven't. There's like a certain feeling. There's a certain throat hit, I think they call it, or whatever, that the cigarette smokers are looking for. And some vaporizers just don't deliver it. They don't deliver that hit of nicotine that they're looking, that they want to match in order to consider quitting. So if it doesn't rise to the level of the cigarette, they're not going to keep using it, even if it is better for them on a health basis. And I think arguably vaporizing is way better as far
as health is concerned. But now there's a new issue of people who never smoked before, and a lot of them are people who are like, you know, roughly my age, who just begin nicotine consumption with vaporizers and Juul.
That has happened.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
This was happening. I mean, okay, it was the whole addiction aspect was happening prior to these devices. It's not like this is a new phenomenon. It's just switched.
Well, but what they want you to believe is that these young people wouldn't have started with cigarettes. See,
if it wasn't cigarettes, it would be alcohol, or it would be some harder drug, or it would be the whole idea that kids are not going to get into things that they're not allowed to get into, or not supposed to get into, is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
For me, it's like it's a thing that, like, look, you know, if a kid's smoking cigarettes or drinking beer or having sex, that's a thing that's a parent's responsibility for. You can't legislate that away. I mean, you can't legislate good parents.
But there's a
existence.
Limit, too. Kids have to grow up. I mean, you have to give them the opportunity to make the bad decisions so that they learn from them. This is why people also quit smoking, right? Because they've learned from their mistakes.
I've tried the Juul, and I can see why it is popular as somebody who has had a few cigarettes here and there over the years, but have always kind of kept it under control. I don't smoke cigarettes regularly. There was a couple summers where I would smoke here and there, like maybe one a day or something like that. So I can understand the appeal of the Juul, and it's worked for Chris Reitman. He doesn't smoke cigarettes anymore.
Yeah, and the alternative makes you sick. Often.
Right. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up whatever you want here. This is Free Talk Live. Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace around the globe worth $2 per month to you? As you may already know, in addition to our internet feed, LRN.FM broadcasts on free-to-air satellite across North and Central America, as well as Sub-Saharan Africa. And we've been available on satellite for free 24/7 since 2010. The LRN.FM free-to-air satellite signal is reaching some of the most oppressive regimes in the world, and there's no doubt our ideas are making an impact. You can learn more about the channel's impact by watching the 3-minute video at fund.lrn.fm. If you'd like to help free minds globally with our ideas of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace, you can donate as little as $2 per month via fund.lrn.fm. You can help us continue and expand our satellite broadcast to multiple continents. Visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm. It's Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free. Bring up whatever you want. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Vincent.
And Chris.
We've also got the Discord on-air call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm, so be sure you jump into those. And, of course, you can also interact with other Free Talk Live listeners on that Discord server. It's free. And I want to say thanks to Sean E., who is a Free Talk Live Gold amplifier. He's given $10 a month, that's what the gold level is, to the AMP program at ampamp.freetalklive.com. It's a way for you to help back up what we do here and help us advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live to get on more radio stations, to bring more internet listeners on board, expose new people to the ideas of freedom. Over at amp.freetalklive.com. As we continue here, I think he's back. I think the caller that we lost earlier, who was like railing against vaporizers, is back with us. Is this Ron in California? You were the same guy that called earlier, right?
Yeah, I wasn't railing against vaping. I mean, if you're old enough to vape, go ahead. That's up to you. But with it,
so like
you're talking about. Hello.
Yeah, you're right here.
Okay.
We're talking about a chemical-induced heat that the investor that you spoke of, who gave the $12 billion, admitted in their own stock portfolio reports that there are toxicants in the product as well as nicotine. Nicotine is illegal. Tobacco is legal.
Nicotine is an intoxicant. What's wrong with that?
It's a poison as well. It's a, yeah,
so's alcohol.
You're right. So is alcohol. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about a product that was developed that the people who developed it said they had no intention of capturing the youth market, which they did. And they did it by...
Are you trying to say, sir, that having flavored products means you're marketing to children?
When you have a collusion, now watch the words, between the biggest manufacturer of cigarettes and the children's drinks... And
that doesn't, that's not evidence of anything. Listen, there's so many different entities out there that have multiple products on the market, both children's products and adult products. The idea that simply because they come together and work on a project or they work on a product means that they are targeting children is ridiculous. Especially when the argument is based on the fact that it's flavored.
All the schools and we offered free candy and they took the candy, that's fine.
Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence that they're around schools or going into schools and, you know, offering these flavor candy flavored products?
You're putting words in people's mouths. You're the best sidetrackers around, but you're also silly people.
What are you talking about? It's exactly what
he's asking you questions. Okay.
Ask a question then. Don't go on a tirade.
Well, look. We can go on a tirade if we damn well please, but the Altria Corporation owns different sub-corporations. Are you saying that every product that Kraft Foods makes is part of a diabolical plot to get people addicted to nicotine?
That's a childish argument.
That's the argument you just made.
Not me.
Didn't you just say, maybe I misunderstood you, so we'll give you a chance here to correct what you said or correct our understanding of it. Didn't you just say that Altria, the group that invested in the billions of dollars, $12 billion you cited, I think it was actually 12.8, in Juul, that they also owned Tang and other children's food products, right?
Oh, yeah, that's what I said.
And so weren't you suggesting that was part of some sort of... Huh?
They got together early on and decided to put that flavoring in the product, which they knew would help them sell the product. Yes.
Hold on. Who's they and which product are you talking about?
We're talking about the company, the Philip Morris company, that company, which is owned by the investment company. Uh-huh. The investment company went and partnered with these two guys out of Silicon Valley to help develop their product. Mm-hmm. Finally, they gave them $12 billion whatever plus amount. Now, you're telling me that there was no arrangement for them to try to market this stuff with the sugar-flavored products as well as their success they had earlier on?
Sugar-flavored products. Drinks. Which products are you talking about? Tang?
Their original products that they marketed successfully to children were sugar-flavored drinks.
That's okay. One of a myriad of products that is offered by Altria's subcorporations.
We're talking specifically, if you're going to run off on a tangent on every other product... And
we're not going on a tangent. We're addressing the exact thing that you brought up here.
No,
what
you're
saying, Ron, and I'm going to put you on hold now because you won't, you know, just stop talking when we're, you know, trying to speak because conversations have to go two ways. What you're saying is because Altria owns groups like... I think they still have a huge portion of Kraft, or at least at one time they did. And I don't know if Tang was run by Kraft. I haven't had the chance to dissect all of the which company owns what, but there's no doubt that the company that owns Philip Morris also owns other companies.
They diversified. The cigarette companies have diversified their investment because cigarettes were being attacked. I mean, the idea that they're not going to invest in other safer products is ridiculous. Of course they are.
But, so what Ron seems to be saying is because they know how to market to children, they have Tang or... you know, Oreos or whatever it is that they've got, right? These different delicious, sugary products, because they know how to market to children, must mean that they've used the same tactics to sell the vaporizers, the Juuls. Is that what you're saying, Ron?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
See, I wasn't putting words in your mouth. I was saying exactly what you were saying, and it's ridiculous what you're saying.
Oh.
Are you saying that because they've made tasty...
How can we advance our product? And it's ridiculous to say we wouldn't market our product the best with our best ability.
That's not marketing to children,
though. Do they have Barney out there with a vaporizer in his mouth? I mean, do they actually have?
Like, you're basically, you know? What's actually happening here is they're making a better product, and children like that product as well. But that, assuming, but there's no evidence. There's no. You're not presenting any evidence that they're actually marketing to children. Is it? Are they marketing in schools? I mean, that would be evidence that they're marketing to children. Like, do they have posters in schools?
Why don't you look online and look at the advertisement they've had and the packaging they've had for these kinds of products? You're talking because you're talking.
What? Give us an example. What are the advertisements?
Give us an example, because I certainly haven't seen this.
Well, then you better look online and get yourself educated.
I don't watch television. I don't know what advertisements contain. You sound like you've seen one of them.
So
give
tell
me an
us.
Example.
I've seen many of them. Why don't you look under CDC and find
we don't have a computer in front of us.
I've got a computer. I'm just not going to sit around and do all the research when I've got you on the phone. You sound like you have seen one of these ads. You're making the claim they're marketing to children. Give us some examples of what you've seen.
Give us the worst ad.
Okay. Look on CDC. You'll
okay, goodbye. We can't have a conversation with this guy.
So I looked. This is Business Insider. I just typed in Juul advertising, and a lot of the advertising, it's like young people. It's a lot of young people in their advertising. I mean,
well, of course.
These are adults. These aren't even like children. They're not doing 8-year-olds.
Well, I mean, a few years ago, they wouldn't have been considered adults. They would have been considered people dress up in kids' clothes, but apparently that's what people age dress up like now.
Really?
Is this a kindergarten classroom that
seriously?
We're talking about here, or are we talking about college-age people?
No, I'm saying very young people in that.
This is like teenagers, like older teenagers.
Yeah. Like ones that are legally able to purchase
probably,
nicotine
18
products.
To 21.
Yeah. And what are they doing in this? These advertisements?
Vaping.
They're just like standing around
partying,
looking cool.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
party.
Looking, you know, yeah, it's the positive image.
There's not a whole lot of products that market themselves with old people in them. They usually, and if they do, they usually are still like young looking.
Sure.
So the idea that you're going to put like, you know, somebody who is older in your commercials is just, it sounds absurd to me. Of course you're going to go after the younger people. I mean, the banks don't, even the banks like to put children in their commercials, right? Like actual children. Are we then supposed to say they're like targeting children? I mean, I think it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, no, I mean, they put it in for specific reasons, different things are marketed, right? You know, for arthritis medication, you're not going to see children being advertised in it.
No,
so if banks have children in their advertisements, usually it's to evoke emotion from parents.
Right,
so
the family.
No, duh. But they're not marketing it to children just because there's children in the advertisement.
Right. If they were marketing jewels to children, they would have some sort of character. They'd have some sort of stuffed animal come to life.
Right.
Or, you know,
it would look more like a children's, more like a guy.
Well, I'd say tweens, definitely. I mean, like, not. I'm not saying if they're making a comment if they're like specifically doing it or not, but obviously they want as many people using their products as possible, buying in bulk.
Well, no, duh.
And so, I mean, I'd say definitely at least it appeals to tweens or people who want to, you know, look, be that age, right? You know, that's.
Okay, sure. Young people want to be older. There's no doubt about that.
So, I mean, calling them children,
I
mean, because, you know, America has the oldest children in the world, right? So, like, you know,
there are people who believe that child means anybody under the age of 25, but I think that's insulting. A child is somebody who has not even hit puberty yet.
Yeah.
There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If you are a prohibitionist, we want to hear from you. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything that you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Moments remain, maybe enough time for you if you can get on the line now with you tonight. By the way, it's Ian.
It's Vincent.
And Chris.
Still reeling from the shocking levels of ignorance in that last phone call that we had from Rob or Ron or whoever it was in California, who is convinced that because a company can market a product, other products to children, like, you know, sugary foods, that therefore they must be marketing their other products to children that might be dangerous, like these nicotine vaporizers, like the Juul, for instance. And Vincent, you pulled up one of their advertisements and you found that they are marketing towards younger people, but not children, unless, of course, you believe that people who are in their late teens or early 20s or mid 20s are children. And there are some people who believe that. And I find that to be insulting towards those young people.
This is the same argument that they keep using to up the age. It's like,
the age of using cigarettes.
Driving age. Well, yeah, I mean, all sorts of ages.
Because they're upping that age. There's a bunch of states that have gone from 18 to 21.
For driving?
No. For cigarettes.
Yeah. You're right.
Right here in Keene, New Hampshire, they did it.
Right. Yeah.
The so-called live free or die state. And so now Massachusetts and Maryland, I think, is trying to pass it. And there's been several states that have done this. And we, Vincent, you and I went to most of these hearings. I think you went to at least one, if not more than one, Chris, the nicotine ban.
Did I not go to all of them?
Maybe you did go to all of them. I don't remember how many I went to. I know you went to at least one, if not two.
I've been to so many different meetings, I don't really recall if I went to all of them, but I think I might have.
These anti-vape prohibitionist types, and, you know, Sarah, who calls into the show, she thinks all nicotine should be banned all the way up to, you know, age 100 and that you should be choked to death if you sell a loose cigarette on the street. So, I mean, the level of insanity that these people have over this product is quite palpable. And they just want to use the government to force their way on others because it's for the children. They believe it is for the best of the children. Everyone should be prohibited from doing a thing because if we prohibit everyone from doing it, that'll stop the kids from getting their hands on it, right? Just like kids can't get their hands on marijuana.
It was easier to get your hands on marijuana where I went to school than it was to get your hands on a cigarette.
On alcohol?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that was my point. So if you prohibit a thing, it actually drives it underground and makes it even harder to get. Now, to the caller's credit, he wasn't saying ban it for everybody. But he certainly didn't seem like he was friendly towards the nicotine vape option at all. When everyone who I know who is a vape user of nicotine, I know, Vincent, you cited there are people who've started using nicotine because they started on vaping. And I don't deny those people exist. Okay, they must exist. They're probably a very small portion. But they do exist.
That would be irrational to think that nobody ever started with it.
There's many on campus. Like, there's a lot on campus, or at least noticeable.
What portion of people who nicotine users started as a vape user? That's what I'd like to know. Because everybody I know who vapes used to be a cigarette smoker.
But you're also amongst mostly older individuals.
There's two of them in the house right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's
my ex-girlfriend is here. She's visiting, and her boyfriend.
But she's not that young anymore either.
She's always 14. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow. The stuff you shouldn't but say they're on air.
They're former cigarette users who are now on vape. And then, you know, you got Chris Reedman, who's our co-host, who used to have a real, like, I would say bad cigarette habit. He was doing probably, like, close to 2 packs a day. I mean, cranking through cigarettes all day long. Now, not only is he likely saving his lungs to some extent. Now, I'm not saying it's good to vape. Not only is it likely that he's saving his lungs, but he's also saving a significant amount of money. He bought like some little juice bottle, little nicotine juice thing, and it's literally lasted him for weeks. And he paid like $18 or $20 for it. Whereas one pack of cigarettes is going to run you, depending on what state you're in, right? Like New York City, it's going to be $13, $10. One pack of cigarettes around here, $6, $7. So like for the price of 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes, which would have been 1 day or 2 days worth of smoking, he's been vaping basically the whole month.
I'm curious what the taxes are on it relative to cigarettes.
I would suggest they are lower because I don't think they have specific taxes.
I wonder if there is some incentive here, and maybe why they're being harsh on vaping is because they're not getting the money, right? These are statists. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're people who want more government. They want them to be, you know, they want to control other people.
Let's go to the phones. Your calls and thoughts. We have David calling us from San Francisco. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
It's interesting hearing you talking about that. You were talking, for example, the marketing to children.
Mm-hmm.
Tobacco, I'm trying to think if they, when Christopher Columbus, you remember he came over here 3 or 4 times, and finally when one of his sailors got back to Spain with tobacco, he was smoking in downtown, wherever, Lisbon or someplace or another, and he exhaled 400 and something years, 500 years, let's say.
Sure.
And so the idea that it's not just tobacco, I was kind of interested in, you were talking about whether or not it was a conflict of interest for the company to be selling it to children. I found it a second conflict of interest, well, marketing to children.
Okay.
But whether or not they actually, if the, when you started the, at the end of the last hour, you were talking about the company's actual name, right, and their financial holdings, and it showed that they were R.J. Reynolds, even though it was like a holding company.
I thought it was Philip Morris.
R.J. Reynolds. Oh, yeah, okay, Philip Morris, as well as they the holding company also bought the Tang and the sugar company.
Uh-huh. You're talking about Altria? So, you're talking about Altria, that's the company.
Yeah, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the name. But the idea that if a tobacco company had made millions of dollars for 500 years, or, you know, tobacco in general for 500 years, now they want to make money from the vaping, which is being sold as a remediation, you know, get off cigarettes by going over to vaping.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. The cigarette companies have come out against vaping because they don't have competitive products. They actually created bad products intentionally because they want to somehow undermine the whole vaping market.
Well, but yeah, here we but that may be the case, or maybe it was. But
maybe you missed the detail,
Chris. But okay, Altria did invest in Juul, which is that's sort of one of the main points of the last caller.
Which was successful, right? Juul.
Juul is the number one vaping product.
Okay, so I don't know if they failed at undermining the vaping market, and that's why they got into it. But I know at one point they were.
They were threatened.
The industry was threatened by it.
They were threatened by it. But then they realized that they better embrace the change, and they started to make their own vape-related products. And now this other company said, "Wow, well, this company is really good. What they did over here, so we're going to make that happen."
Yeah, that makes sense that they bought a better company.
That conflict of interest, put the hairs on the back of my neck to go up.
Because I'm being told there's no tax online, by the way, on these
yeah, good point.
E-juice things. Sorry,
Juul,
David, go ahead.
Juul. Yeah, well, and then the other thing, and this is I think it goes all the way back to when Obama was president. I was watching C-SPAN one day, and they were talking about whether or not Social Security was strong and what they could do to strengthen Social Security. And Mitch McConnell came on, and he said, "You know, I don't mind if they have cigarettes because it'll just kill them earlier, and that'll make Social Security all the stronger." And so, I mean, if the lead Republican senator, the guy that's in charge of he's the president of the U.S. Senate, feels that way about American citizens, that they can smoke or they can consume things that'll kill them early so it'll balance the budget.
Well, that doesn't have anything to do with the Republicans. I mean, the people running government health care systems want people to die so they don't have to give them coverage.
Says who?
Says anybody that's ever looked at a death panel.
The VA, yeah.
A death panel?
Yeah.
You sounding conspiracy minded.
This is not a conspiracy. Go look at the socialist medicine countries.
It does sound like a conspiracy, but I would be interested in hearing.
It's just saying a theory. You know, it's actually happening versus these groups of people.
It's not even necessarily done in secret. When you go to the government and you say, "Cover my thing that's wrong with me," they don't have to guarantee they're going to give you the coverage. If you're too old, they're like, "We're not going to give you a heart replacement. You're 80 years old." Mm. You're like, "Well, I paid into my whole life." Well, they're like, "Screw you. We don't care. We're the government. Have a nice day. We'll see you tomorrow." FreeTalkLive.com.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you asked, and now we've delivered. LRN.FM's live Keene, New Hampshire studio shows are now streamed in HD on Twitch. Visit our channel at twitch.lrn.fm and give it a follow. If you have Amazon Prime, you get one free subscription on Twitch. If you use it on our channel, Twitch will give LRN.FM a monthly piece of your Prime subscription cost. So please watch, follow, share, and subscribe to twitch.lrn.fm. That's twitch.lrn.fm.